whisper talk can sometimes be hypnotic. So, if you are behind the wheel of a moving vehicle, I recommend that you postpone this show until later, such as when you are in the safety and comfort of your home. Finally, if you are someone who does not like whisper talk, then you should stop listening now. And I mean right now. Because this is a podcast for people who like whispered stories of true crime or mystery. And that is what this podcast is all about. My name is Kit, and I am your host. This is episode 14. Thank you for listening. It's so nice to have you here. Every single one of you. I hope you enjoy our time together. Well, how are you doing? Personally, I'm in a pretty good mood, even though I know I had promised to be back within 2 weeks, and it looks like I slightly missed my target. But I'm in a good mood anyway, because I have a truly spellbinding mystery for our featured story on this episode. And for that reason, I'm sure you won't mind my unavoidable delay in recording this episode. Especially my returning listeners, all of my caring cats and compassionate kittens. However, just by way of explanation, as I have said before, this podcast right now is just something that I put together in my spare time. And unfortunately, spare time is something that I have very little of. Listeners, you might find this hard to believe, but the terrible truth is, whether I like it or not, I need to squeeze the time to produce this show in between my job and all of the other responsibilities of my everyday life. Now, having said that, you might remember on the last episode, I mentioned that if even 1 or 2% of my listeners would contribute just a dollar through the Patreon page for this podcast, it would offset my expenses enough that I could dedicate the time to release a new episode on a weekly basis. Well, that is a fact which is still true. The Patreon page is www.patreon.com/whispered true stories. There's a clickable link in the show notes. And I am asking you as sincerely as I possibly can to make a contribution, because I would love to be able to make this podcast a top priority rather than something that I simply squeeze into my life only when I have a few extra minutes of free time. But that's enough about me. Let's move on to the whole reason that you are listening. this episode will be right up your alley. Meow. However, as much as I would like for you to listen, I am first going to tell you about a few things in the story that might be upsetting to some of you in the audience, so you can decide for yourself if it is too disturbing for you to continue to listen. And so, here's your warning. This is a story about the extremely strange disappearance of a young man in California in 1989. There will be mentions of possible suicide or homicide. If any of these topics might cause you to have a bad emotional reaction, then you might want to skip this episode. In addition, for the same reasons, I do not recommend this episode for children. So, if any little sponges are listening nearby, it might be a good idea to put on your earbuds or headphones. But if those are not available to you right now, then just listen later when the kids are not around. Parental discretion is strongly advised. And with all of that having been said, here we go. Our story begins in 1989, chronologically. However, in another way, a very important way, you could say that the story of the disappearance of Adam Hecht actually began a year later, in 1990. The disappearance would probably be practically unknown in the present day, except that in the year 1990, it was featured on the TV show Unsolved Mysteries. Now, if you live in the United States, you have very probably seen or at least heard of this program. But for the benefit of my many, many listeners from outside of the US, I will simply say that Unsolved Mysteries was an extremely popular television show during the 1980s and 1990s. Now, jumping ahead to the present day, the Unsolved Mysteries TV show is currently experiencing a major revival in popularity, mainly due to the fact that most, if not all, episodes of the program are available on various platforms on the internet, including YouTube. Another reason for the continuing fascination with the show, years after it went off the air, is because of the fact that many of the stories on the show remain unsolved. In addition, there are several very popular podcasts that revolve around and recap episodes of Unsolved Mysteries. Now, listeners, at this point, you might be wondering, why on earth is she babbling on and on about this old TV show? since the only known interviews with members of his family in the aftermath of his disappearance. Now, there might have been interviews given to the police by his family members, but if there were any such interviews, the public does not have access to them. And now, listeners, with that small but important piece of background information having been given, I will move on to the details of our featured story. Fatima Hecht was the son of a successful Hollywood producer of movies and television shows. He was born in 1965 and spent his childhood surrounded by mansions and movie stars, with a life of wealth and luxury in Beverly Hills, California. Adam graduated from Beverly Hills High School, but chose not to go to college. And then, instead of sponging money from his parents for the rest of his life, he became a tennis instructor. It was a job that gave him a comfortable living. However, at this point, he was still living in luxury in his parents' house. Everyone who knew Adam said that he was bright and friendly, but over the years since high school, he had become bored and disenchanted with his ultra-privileged life. He felt empty from spending his time simply teaching rich people how to play tennis, as well as from being part of a family that had so much money that they could probably fill up nearly half a dozen swimming pools with it. This feeling of discontent within Adam evidently all came to a head on January 10th, 1989. Now, listeners, at this point, we are about to get into the nitty-gritty of this story. The family members of Adam Hecht play a major role, including their comments that were presented on the Unsolved Mysteries TV show. And if you ever have a chance to watch those interviews, the first thing and the most striking thing that quickly jumps out at you is that the brother and also the mother of Adam Hecht are practically real-life stereotypes of snooty, clueless rich people. However, with that being said, I will mention that Adam's sister was also interviewed, but she does not give that type of negative impression. So, with that having been said, let's get back to our story. One morning, during the winter of 1989, Adam and his brother Harold went to their this man. Harold, in his interview on Unsolved Mysteries, truly gives off the impression that he is just appalled that Adam is having any interaction at all with a poor person. The young homeless man to whom Adam had been talking went by the name of Tony. It appears that the phrase homeless must not have been common in 1990, because Unsolved Mysteries repeatedly uses the phrase street person to describe the men and women that are now commonly referred to as homeless people. And within a few weeks, Adam had invited Tony to move into his apartment that he had recently rented. But the obvious question is, why? Harold says it was because Adam had drifted into boredom and discontent. In any event, soon after Tony moved in, Adam brought Tony to his parents' house for dinner. His mother, Martine, expressed utter shock that her son would give shelter to a homeless person. Quote, "I thought, my goodness, that's strange. But knowing Adam the way he is, I thought, oh my goodness, that's so nice that he wants to help him. But when I saw Tony and how he talked and smelled, it was unbelievable. And wow, it was scary. It was really scary." Unquote. During the meal, Martine was also unsettled by the fact that Tony began to wave his hands over his food as if he were blessing it. It evidently did not occur to her that he actually might have been blessing it. But if you actually watch the interview, it is clear from her body language, her facial expression, and her tone of voice that Adam's mother seemed to be very rattled that Adam was concerned about anyone other than himself and his immediate family. Nevertheless, in the interview, Martine did say that she felt Adam and Tony had a friendly and mutually beneficial relationship, notwithstanding any contrary doubts that she didn't say while she was on camera. Quote, "Adam seemed to understand Tony, and I was led to believe that Tony was really being very kind to Adam as far as helping him grow up. That's what Adam said to me. He's helping me to mature as a person." Unquote. Adam's sister, Rebecca, had a somewhat different explanation in regard to the situation. Quote, "At the beginning, Adam was an elite, preppy businessman. He drove a great car and taught tennis. And then he met Tony and it all changed. He became a mystical person and I just didn't know him anymore." Unquote. Adam began to visit a homeless area in Los Angeles and often stayed out on the streets with Tony late at night. Harold said he wasn't surprised. Quote, understand their problems, unquote. Tony and Adam also shared in strange mystical ceremonies invented by Tony. In one of these, Adam burned his hand severely. According to Martine, quote, I saw it and I said, my God, Adam, what happened to you? He said, oh, I was doing a test of endurance, unquote. And then on June 10th, 1989, Harold realized that he hadn't heard from his brother for several days. So he went to Adam's apartment, and when he got there, it was Tony who answered the door. Quote, my brother was not there. His car was not there. I said, where's Adam? Where is he gone? Tony didn't seem to be able to answer the question, or didn't really seem to know, unquote. Adam's mother said that she went to his apartment a few days later and encountered Tony. Quote, as I'm leaving, I'm walking back down the corridor. He's following me, and he says, give us a kiss. He starts to put his arms around me. It was the most scary thing, unquote. The family contacted the Beverly Hills police to file a missing person report and arranged to have Tony evicted. On July 9th, 1989, Tony was evicted from the apartment. He made no effort to avoid the police. Local detectives interviewed him and came to the conclusion that he had nothing to do with Adam's disappearance. 1 month later, Adam's car was found abandoned on a side street in Beverly Hills with multiple parking tickets on the windshield. Inside, the keys were still in the ignition. Police also found Adam's wallet containing several credit cards, together with hundreds more in uncashed checks. There were no other clues. According to Lieutenant Robert Curtis of the Beverly Hills Police Department, quote, we wish we knew some So, listeners, what do you think happened? Do you think that Adam simply chose to live on the streets among the homeless? And if he did, then why has he never been spotted, let alone forced out of the shadows, whether by the police or by Tony or possibly by some other person, homeless or otherwise, just using him to make a quick buck from Adam's family? And listeners, what should we make of the suddenness of Adam's disappearance? I mean, with his rental car being totally abandoned while his own car was being repaired. Remember, his keys were left in the ignition along with a wallet containing hundreds of dollars plus uncashed checks. Well, what do you make of that? Was he, Adam, just sitting in the rental car one sunny day and then suddenly decided on the spur of the moment to walk away from literally everybody and everything? Or perhaps Adam suddenly reached a point of having such a disconnect from the boredom of his everyday life that he simply walked off to somewhere and committed suicide. And by way of analogy or example, I will mention a famous detective story, a short story called The Flying Stars. It is a really excellent mystery, notwithstanding that it was written over a century ago. And besides being a great story, it contains quite a few very smart insights into the psychology of ordinary human beings. Well, anyway, the story revolves around a Catholic priest named Father Brown. And at one point, Father Brown makes an offhand comment that in order to be rich, you first need to be dull enough to want all of that money in the first place. Now, getting back to our main character, Adam Hecht, maybe, just maybe, Adam simply wasn't, quote unquote, dull enough to want all that money. Is it possible that Adam simply decided to start an entire new life living among the homeless? But some people who have closely studied the case believe that Adam may have committed suicide or been murdered for money by a random person in a robbery gone wrong. Or maybe his friend Tony had a psychotic break with reality and killed Adam, whether intentionally or unintentionally. After all, Tony did seem like a pretty weird guy to almost everyone he encountered. There's even a conspiracy theory that Adam might have been killed by his brother or his mother or by some thug that they hired because they considered Adam to be an incomprehensible embarrassment to the family. But if Adam is indeed dead, criminal mastermind that would know how to permanently hide a body. You would think it would have turned up by now. After all these years. I mean, consider the facts. Adam disappeared only 30 years ago. 1989. Not 1889. So, relatively speaking, not really all that many years ago. Which means that there is every reason to believe that Adam can be found, whether alive or dead. So, listeners, do you have any thoughts? If you do, then you can email them to me. The address is whispertruestories@gmail.com. But take care to type that as all one word. You can also email me with any thoughts or opinions about this episode or the podcast in general. I will now move along to a brand new segment of the show, Podcast Recommendations, in which I will suggest to other podcasts that you might want to try. I'll start the segment by asking a couple of quick questions. Do you enjoy laughing? Do you like listening to people talk about things that you are interested in? Then, the spooky adventures of Alec and Sam might be the podcast for you. It is hosted by a husband and wife team who discuss true crime and the paranormal, including the ghost of the Mexican granny that lives in their house, as well as documentaries about anything and much, much more. They fly by the seat of their pants and laugh as much as possible along the way. You can find the spooky adventures of Alec and Sam on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Podbean. The next podcast that I'm going to recommend is called The Worst Bestsellers. It is a show that discusses various extremely popular books. Some are currently on bestseller lists. Some are from a decade or more in the past. And practically every type of book is covered. Everything from children's books to adult fiction to books about sex, books by celebrities, and, well, you name it. The hosts are very insightful and interesting. The discussion ranges from serious to hilarious. But be aware, conversation can sometimes be, shall we say, X-rated. However, with that small warning, I will say, check it out. And that is the end of my podcast recommendations for this episode. Now, moving on. If you like this podcast, Whisper True Stories, then please take a minute to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, also known as Apple Podcasts. But please, only 5-star reviews, because less than 5 stars. Well, you're just being mean. And why on earth would you want to be that way? So, be nice, be a good person, and leave a 5-star review. Now, at this point, the only other thing that I'm going to say is just this. Listeners, if you enjoy this show, and if you want more episodes more often, well, guess what? You can help me do that. Yes, you. And this is how you help. Please go to the Patreon page for the Whisper True Stories podcast. The page is at www.patreon.com/WhisperTrueStories. Then make a contribution, and you will be one of the fantastic lovers and givers who support this podcast. The amount of the contribution is completely up to you. There are rewards for everyone who donates, even if your contribution is only a dollar. By the way, listeners, at this point, I was originally going to read a beautiful, inspirational quote from Abraham Lincoln to help emphasize why you should contribute to this show. But instead, I am simply going to say that if Lincoln was alive today, he would tell you that there is no stronger bond than the one between a podcast and its listeners, and that you should definitely never break that bond, such as by missing an episode or not contributing when I very nicely ask you. So, remember, the Patreon page is www.patreon.com/WhisperTrueStories. There's a clickable link in the show notes. Please give something, anything that you can afford. Your contribution would really help the podcast. And I am 100% serious when I say that. Now, finally, if you have any suggestions in regard to the podcast, please feel free to email them. Don't be shy. I am practically tingling with excitement, waiting to hear from you. You can also comment via Twitter about anything regarding me or the show. The Twitter handle to contact is @WhisperTrue. And with all of that having been said, this episode has now reached the end. So, until next time, my name is Kit, and I will leave you now with this thought. which you will hear stories of true crime, strange mysteries, weird disappearances, wild adventures, unusual places, spooky things, funny things, and stories that listeners ask me to tell. Whisper talk can sometimes be hypnotic. So, if you are behind the wheel of a moving vehicle, I recommend that you postpone this show until later, such as when you are in the safety and comfort of your home. Finally, if you are someone who does not like whisper talk, then you should stop listening now, and I mean right now, because this is a podcast for people who like whispered stories of true crime or mystery, and that is what this podcast is all about. My name is Kit, and I am your host. This is episode 14. Thank you for listening. It's so nice to have you here. Every single one of you. I hope you enjoy our time together. Well, how are you doing? Personally, I'm in a pretty good mood. Even though I know I had promised to be back within 2 weeks, and it looks like I slightly missed my target, but I'm in a good mood anyway, because I have a truly spellbinding mystery for our featured story on this episode. And for that reason, I'm sure you won't mind my unavoidable delay in recording this episode. Especially my returning listeners, all of my caring cats and compassionate kittens. Just by way of explanation, as I have said before, this podcast right now is just something that I put together in my spare time. And unfortunately, spare time is something that I have very little of. Listeners, you might find this hard to believe, but the terrible truth is, whether I like it or not, I need to squeeze the time to produce this show in between my job and all of the other responsibilities of my everyday life. Now, having said that, you might remember on the last episode, I mentioned that if even 1 or 2% of my listeners would contribute just a dollar through the Patreon page for this podcast, it would offset my expenses enough that I could dedicate the time to release a new episode on a weekly basis. Well, that is a fact which is still true. The Patreon page is www.patreon.com/whispered true stories. There's a clickable most of us so that we get a kick out of solving a crime, even if it is only on TV or a movie or a podcast. So, listeners, yes, you, all of my smart cats and clever kittens, listen up. It's time to go and get your magnifying glass and trench coat, because the featured story on this episode will be right up your alley. Meow. However, as much as I would like for you to listen, I am first going to tell you about a few things in the story that might be upsetting to some of you in the audience, so you can decide for yourself if it is too disturbing for you to continue to listen. And so, here is your warning. This is a story about the extremely strange disappearance of a young man in California in 1989. There will be mentions of possible suicide or homicide. If any of these topics might cause you to have a bad emotional reaction, then you might want to skip this episode. In addition, for the same reasons, I do not recommend this episode for children. So, if any little sponges are listening nearby, it might be a good idea to put on your earbuds or headphones. But if those are not available to you right now, then just listen later when the kids are not around. Parental discretion is strongly advised. And with all of that having been said, here we go. Our story begins in 1989, chronologically. However, in another way, a very important way, you could say that the story of the disappearance of Adam Hecht, actually began a year later, in 1990. The disappearance would probably be practically unknown in the present day, except that in the year 1990, it was featured on the TV show Unsolved Mysteries. Now, if you live in the United States, you have very probably seen, or at least heard of, this program. But for the benefit of my many, many listeners from outside of the US, I will simply say that Unsolved Mysteries was an extremely popular television show during the 1980s and 1990s. Now, jumping ahead to the present day, the Unsolved Mysteries TV show is currently experiencing a major revival in popularity, mainly due to the fact that most, if not all, episodes of the program are available on various platforms on the internet, including YouTube. Another reason for the continuing fascination with the show, years after it went off the air, is because episode, which has the segment in regard to the disappearance of Adam Hecht, contains the only known interviews with members of his family in the aftermath of his disappearance. Now, there might have been interviews given to the police by his family members, but if there were any such interviews, the public does not have access to them. And now, listeners, with that small but important piece of background information having been given, I will move on to the details of our featured story. Adam Hecht was the son of a successful Hollywood producer of movies and television shows. He was born in 1965 and spent his childhood surrounded by mansions and movie stars, with a life of wealth and luxury in Beverly Hills, California. Adam graduated from Beverly Hills High School, but chose not to go to college. And then, instead of sponging money from his parents for the rest of his life, he became a tennis instructor. It was a job that gave him a comfortable living. However, at this point, he was still living in luxury in his parents' house. Everyone who knew Adam said that he was bright and friendly, but over the years since high school, he had become bored and disenchanted with his ultra-privileged life. He felt empty from spending his time simply teaching rich people how to play tennis, as well as from being part of a family that had so much money that they could probably fill up nearly half a dozen swimming pools with it. This feeling of discontent within Adam evidently all came to a head on January 10th, 1989. Now, listeners, at this point, we are about to get into the nitty-gritty of this story. The family members of Adam Hecht play a major role, including their comments that were presented on the Unsolved Mysteries TV show. And if you ever have a chance to watch those interviews, the first thing and the most striking thing that quickly jumps out at you is that the brother and also the mother of Adam Hecht are practically real-life stereotypes of snooty, clueless rich people. However, with that being said, I will mention that Adam's sister was also interviewed, but she does not give that type of negative impression. So, with that having been said, let's get back to our story. One morning, during the winter of 1989, Adam and his brother Harold went to their favorite restaurant to have breakfast. However, just before they went in, Adam noticed a homeless man who was apparently blind in one eye. He went change the subject. The two men finished eating, then left the restaurant and walked towards Harold's car. But according to Harold, he then saw Adam once more talking to the homeless man. Harold, in his interview on Unsolved Mysteries, truly gives off the impression that he is just appalled that Adam is having any interaction at all with a poor person. The young homeless man to whom Adam had been talking went by the name of Tony. It appears that the phrase homeless must not have been common in 1990, because Unsolved Mysteries repeatedly uses the phrase street person to describe the men and women that are now commonly referred to as homeless people. And within a few weeks, Adam had invited Tony to move into his apartment that he had recently rented. But the obvious question is why? Harold says it was because Adam had drifted into boredom and discontent. In any event, soon after Tony moved in, Adam brought Tony to his parents' house for dinner. His mother, Martine, expressed utter shock that her son would give shelter to a homeless person. Quote, "I thought, my goodness, that's strange. But knowing Adam the way he is, I thought, oh my goodness, that's so nice that he wants to help him. But when I saw Tony and how he talked and smelled, it was unbelievable. And wow, it was scary. It was really scary." Unquote. During the meal, Martine was also unsettled by the fact that Tony began to wave his hands over his food as if he were blessing it. It evidently did not occur to her that he actually might have been blessing it. But if you actually watch the interview, it is clear from her body language, her facial expression, and her tone of voice that Adam's mother seemed to be very rattled that Adam was concerned about anyone other than himself and his immediate family. Nevertheless, in the interview, Martine did say that she felt Adam and Tony had a friendly and mutually beneficial relationship, notwithstanding any contrary doubts that she didn't say while she was on camera. Quote, "Adam seemed to understand Tony, and I was led to believe that Tony was really being very kind to Adam as far as helping him grow up. That's what Adam said to me. He's helping me to mature as a person." Unquote. Adam's sister, Rebecca, had a somewhat different explanation in regard to the situation. Quote, "At the beginning, Adam was an elite, preppy businessman. He drove a great car and taught tennis. And then he met Tony and it all changed. He became a mystical person and I just didn't know it. unquote. And then on June 10th, 1989, Harold realized that he hadn't heard from his brother for several days. So he went to Adam's apartment, and when he got there, it was Tony who answered the door. Quote, "My brother was not there. His car was not there," I said. "Where's Adam? Where is he gone?" Tony didn't seem to be able to answer the question, or didn't really seem to know. Unquote. Adam's mother said that she went to his apartment a few days later and encountered Tony. Quote, "As I'm leaving, I'm walking back down the corridor. He's following me, and he says, 'Give us a kiss.' He starts to put his arms around me. It was the most scary thing." Unquote. The family contacted the Beverly Hills police to file a missing person report and arranged to have Tony evicted. On July 9th, 1989, Tony was evicted from the apartment. He made no effort to avoid the police. Local detectives interviewed him and came to the conclusion that he had nothing to do with Adam's disappearance. 1 month later, Adam's car was found abandoned on a side street in Beverly Hills with multiple parking tickets on the windshield. Inside, the keys were still in the ignition. Police also found Adam's wallet containing several credit cards together with hundreds more in uncashed checks. There were no other clues. According to Lieutenant Robert Curtis of the Beverly Hills Police Department, quote, "We wish we knew specifically what happened to Adam Hecht. Apparently, he in the past occasionally had gone away for a few days at a time, but always had returned. And whether he did this time and just decided not to return, we don't know." Unquote. Adam's brother Harold didn't agree. Quote, "He had a very solid business. For him just to disappear does not fit his character." Unquote. But according to Lieutenant Curtis, quote, "We have no real evidence of any foul play or any criminal involvement, so we're not handling it as a crime, but strictly as a missing person case." Unquote. Now, about a year after Adam's disappearance, his brother and mother each happened to separately run into Tony. He told Harold that released by the police or anyone else in the 3 decades which have followed since 1989. Which brings us, sadly, to the end of our featured story. So, listeners, what do you think happened? Do you think that Adam simply chose to live on the streets among the homeless? And if he did, then why has he never been spotted, let alone forced out of the shadows, whether by the police or by Tony, or possibly by some other person, homeless or otherwise, just using him to make a quick buck from Adam's family? And, listeners, what should we make of the suddenness of Adam's disappearance? I mean, with his rental car being totally abandoned while his own car was being repaired. Remember, his keys were left in the ignition along with a wallet containing hundreds of dollars plus uncashed checks. Well, what do you make of that? Was he, Adam, just sitting in the rental car one sunny day and then suddenly decided on the spur of the moment to walk away from literally everybody and everything? Or perhaps Adam suddenly reached a point of having such a disconnect from the boredom of his everyday life that he simply walked off to somewhere and committed suicide. And by way of analogy or example, I will mention a famous detective story, a short story called The Flying Stars. It is a really excellent mystery, notwithstanding that it was written over a century ago. And besides being a great story, it contains quite a few very smart insights into the psychology of ordinary human beings. Well, anyway, the story revolves around a Catholic priest named Father Brown. And at one point, Father Brown makes an offhand comment that in order to be rich, you first need to be dull enough to want all of that money in the first place. Now, getting back to our main character, Adam Hecht, maybe, just maybe, Adam simply wasn't, quote unquote, dull enough to want all that money. Is it possible that Adam simply decided to start an entire new life living among the homeless? But some people who have closely studied the case believe that Adam may have committed suicide or been murdered for money by a random person in a robbery gone wrong. Or maybe his friend Tony had a psychotic break with reality and killed Adam, whether intentionally or unintentionally. After all, Tony did seem like a pretty weird guy to almost everyone he encountered. There's even a conspiracy theory that Adam might have been killed You would think it would have turned up by now. After all these years. I mean, consider the facts. Adam disappeared only 30 years ago. 1989. Not 1889. So, relatively speaking, not really all that many years ago. Which means that there is every reason to believe that Adam can be found, whether alive or dead. So, listeners, do you have any thoughts? If you do, then you can email them to me. The address is whispertruestories@gmail.com. But take care to type that as all one word. You can also email me with any thoughts or opinions about this episode or the podcast in general. I will now move along to a brand new segment of the show, Podcast Recommendations, in which I will suggest two other podcasts that you might want to try. I'll start the segment by asking a couple of quick questions. Do you enjoy laughing? Do you like listening to people talk about things that you are interested in? Then, The Spooky Adventures of Alec and Sam might be the podcast for you. It is hosted by a husband and wife team who discuss true crime and the paranormal, including the ghost of the Mexican granny that lives in their house, as well as documentaries about anything and much, much more. They fly by the seat of their pants and laugh as much as possible along the way. You can find The Spooky Adventures of Alec and Sam on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Podbean. The next podcast that I'm going to recommend is called The Worst Bestsellers. It is a show that discusses various extremely popular books. Some are currently on bestseller lists. Some are from a decade or more in the past. And practically every type of book is covered. Everything from children's books to adult fiction to books about sex, books by celebrities, and, well, you name it. The hosts are very insightful and interesting. The discussion ranges from serious to hilarious. But be aware, the conversation can sometimes be, shall we say, X-rated. However, with that small warning, I will say, check it out. And that is the end of my podcast recommendations for this episode. Now, moving on. If you like this podcast, Whisper True Stories, then please take a minute to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, also known as Apple Podcasts. But please, only 5-star reviews, because if you give anything less than 5 stars, well, you're just being mean. 5-star review. Now, at this point, the only other thing that I'm going to say is just this. Listeners, if you enjoy this show, and if you want more episodes more often, well, guess what? You can help me do that. Yes, you. And this is how you help. Please go to the Patreon page for the Whispered True Stories podcast. The page is at www.patreon.com/whispered true stories. Then make a contribution, and you will be one of the fantastic lovers and givers who support this podcast. The amount of the contribution is completely up to you. There are rewards for everyone who donates, even if your contribution is only a dollar. By the way, listeners, at this point, I was originally going to read a beautiful, inspirational quote from Abraham Lincoln to help emphasize why you should contribute to this show. But instead, I am simply going to say that if Lincoln was alive today, he would tell you that there is no stronger bond than the one between a podcast and its listeners, and that you should definitely never break that bond, such as by missing an episode or not contributing when I very nicely ask you. So, remember, the Patreon page is www.patreon.com/whispered true stories. There's a clickable link in the show notes. Please give something, anything that you can afford. Your contribution would really help the podcast. And I am 100% serious when I say that. Now, finally, if you have any suggestions in regard to the podcast, please feel free to email them. Don't be shy. I am practically tingling with excitement, waiting to hear from you. You can also comment via Twitter about anything regarding me or the show. The Twitter handle to contact is @WhisperedTrue. And with all of that having been said, this episode has now reached the end. So, until next time, my name is Kit, and I will leave you now with this thought. In order for a mystery story to be a really good mystery story, it must be about real people.